This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My special guests tonight on Bent Notes are Melbourne-based trio Phileas Fogg. They describe themselves as being born from the desire to combine a love for the classic jazz repertoire with European romanticism. It is my pleasure to welcome to the Bent Notes studio for the first time Andriana Mikanova, Philippe Castermain and Dan Seddon. Welcome.
Hello, nice to be here.
Pleased to be here.
Excellent. We've got three of you in studio. It's a tight squeeze in studio tonight. Oh.
That was me.
That was the sound, yeah.
No, it's nice. We're used to being cozy in the studio, so it's going to be a while till cabin fever kicks in.
Excellent. Well, now, before we get onto the music, I'd like to understand the name Phileas Fogg. Now, I've heard the name before, but as a character who travelled around the world in 80 days in a book written by Jules Verne, is that the inspiration for the name? And if so, what is the link?
That's very much the inspiration behind the name. Actually, did you want to fill this one, Phil? Because it was you that came up with the name.
I don't mind, yeah, if you want. Basically, you might have recognised the accents. Like Dan, obviously, is from England. Andriana is from Macedonia and myself from France. So none of us really, are from Australia. The idea was just, you know, behind being travellers and just moving places, really, although we're not moving much at the moment. We quite enjoy being here. So that was the idea behind the name, really, just like being travellers and having settled here in Australia, we thought. And obviously the French relation to Jules Verne was another element.
And have you got a trip around the world planned that's going to take 80 days?
Maybe one day.
One day?
We'd love to. If someone is listening and loves our music, a promoter, then they're more than welcome to get us on the tour.
It sounds like a great way to go, the Phileas Fogg Trio tour of the world in 80 days.
I didn't even think of that, but it does have a really good ring to it, yeah.
Now, have each of you grown up with music in your families?
Yes. My father was a bass player, and it was a direct and indirect, in terms of we both enjoyed very different music to begin with, but the more I grew with music, the more I realised that a lot of the music my dad played in the car, driving places and live, began to have an influence on me. And more the positivity that came out of my father playing music was a big influence on me as well. But I think Andriana had a more direct influence,
yes,
from your parents.
So I was also engaged into the world of music in general, jazz, because of my parents, who happened to be musicians as well. Inevitable, I guess, you know, like I developed an early and passionate appetite for playing some instrument, and I began playing the piano at the age of 4.
Oh, that's early.
Yes.
Were your parents jazz musos?
Yes, yes. They're jazz musicians. My mother, she's a jazz singer, and my father is a jazz saxophone player.
Almost no hope of you going anywhere but jazz.
Yes, it's inevitable, as I said before. Yeah,
yeah, indeed it is.
Yes.
And Philippe?
I guess I'm the odd one. Both of my parents are psychologists, so that might explain a few things. You know, I mean, there was always music at home, but no real relation to music other than my dad liked jazz and my mum liked classical, and as a result, we just always had music at home.
When did each of you realise that music wasn't just something you liked and enjoyed and followed after your parents with, but that it was going to be a career choice?
I think it was after I failed my A-levels, to be honest.
Did you?
Well, yeah. But the first attempt, anyway.
So it was a backup plan?
Yeah, well, I think there's a certain point when you put a lot of effort into something and then it doesn't quite go the way you plan. You get you get more of a view in your head about what's important to you in your life. And it started from there, but it has grown through different phases. I went to uni to study music because I was thinking that it would be great to be a professional muso, but after playing with that for a little while, I realised that in the search of having music as a career, you'd probably have to make a few sacrifices in playing what you want to play, and that didn't really inspire me all that much. So it's a case of trying to find income in other places, focus on the music that's really important to me, and if that takes us around the world in 80 days, then that'll be a dream.
But that's the way to go.
That's the way to go, yeah.
Adriana, did you realise at four that it was going to be your career?
Well, I think that's always have been my most comfort zone. I simply can't imagine, you know, any day of my life without music. And that was since when I was young. And I guess I was also very successful, like playing classical music. Yeah, it just drove me here, you know, where am I?
A natural progression.
Yes.
Yeah. And Philippe, what's your first recollection of having this light bulb idea that it's going to be your career?
Oh, very late, actually. I didn't start playing drums until I was 18 years old. So I played with music since I was very young, not necessarily playing an instrument, but just loving it. I remember clearly age about 5 or 6, trying out like a cassette player and an LP player. One was upstairs in the bedroom, one was downstairs in the living room, and trying to sync the White Album of the Beatles to play at the same time. So I was just on my cassette player pressing play and then running upstairs and trying to put the LP at the same time, which I think I managed after like a few tries. But I never really thought about it. It's I think age 18 I picked up drums because some of my friends were playing, and then I was starting to listen to music more and really getting into it. And then, I don't know, I just fell into it.
That's a good way to go, to just fall into music. And now, Rex, you've met Rex before you popped into the studio. He is our little pet dog here that tells us when there's a message awaiting for us to hear. Now, Corey doesn't have the microphone with him at the moment, so I might read it out. It says, "Hiya from Mum and Dad Seddon, UK. Listening to your amazing show from Blighty. The vibes are amazing and floating through the airways from Oz on a sunny morning to Dan's proud parents. Ooh. All goodness to the band. Kiss, kiss."
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Dan's parents.
Yes.
The joys of technology.
Lovely.
Dan.
Hey, good to see you guys or hear from you guys. That's fantastic. Well, as you can see, that's a fantastic example of the positivity I was lucky enough to grow up with and the influence that had on me. And that atmosphere really kind of give you the impression that you could do anything that you wanted to do. So even though that's kind of the stereotypical kind of embarrassing parents, why, it is also a fantastic example of just, you know, how they've inspired me by doing stuff like this. It's fantastic.
And I can see nodding of heads from others here in the room as well. Now, you describe your music as coming from a desire to combine a love for the classic jazz repertoire with European romanticism. And you go on to say that the values of the romantic movements are explored through the light of great jazz standards. What does that mean?
Good question. I wrote that. It was a very late one night.
So it's a good question for you, Philippe.
It is a question. I think I'm going to have to answer that one. You know, it's always difficult when you're trying as a band, as a trio, to just give a reason as to why people should listen to you. And I think what we've got is obviously our European roots. And as a result, I think there's, and I think I speak especially for Andreana there, I think she's got quite a romantic way of playing the piano. It's quite lyrical. It's, yeah. So that was the idea behind that. It's just like, it's quite romantic, it's lyrical. And I think that suited the way we sort of approached the music. And obviously we started with a program called Monk Reloaded. So it was standards, basically. And we followed that up with now the one we are performing at the moment, or promoting, I guess, at the moment, which is Reflections in Duke Ellington. So, you know, it's a lot of standards there. There hasn't been much of originals in the music yet. We're in the process of correcting that. But
I did see a note about that somewhere, Philippe, about next project, I think, might be originals. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that shortly. I'd like to hear a little bit more off the album Prelude. A piece called Off Minor, I think, would be great to listen to. Is there a special story behind this piece, or is there a reason why it's on the album?
There was a bit of an inspiration. I think we played with a few Monk songs, and we were trying to have some fun with arrangements. Sorry, I'm kind of speaking for myself, sorry guys, but I was trying to find inspiration, and I was practicing one night and I found the interesting chordal bass thing that you'll hear in the both the head in and head out of the song, and that kind of fired me up to play this song. And these guys are always fantastic, so they just, yeah, did what they did, and it ended up being on the album.
Off Minor from the Phileas Fogg Trio. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Dan, you had a message before from your parents.
I did, yeah.
Well, Rex is here to tell us that we have another message that's arrived. This message says, to Andriana Mikanova. That's you, Andriana.
I'm very excited. I'm bursting of excitement.
We love you, our sunshine. We are very proud of you, our musical pearl.
Oh.
From Mum, Katarina,
I already knew.
And husband, Deco. Hugs and kisses to Dan and Philippe.
I'm sending all my love to you guys.
That's so nice to have.
Thank you.
To have those messages come in. And we've got another one to Andriana. Actually, it says exactly the same, but this one's from Deco.
Oh, okay.
So, doubling up.
That might be an intimate
it's
one.
It's come through. No? It's come through email.
Okay.
So we've got both an email and an SMS message as well, which is great to see here on Joy 94.9. And would you believe there's more messages? You don't have to worry, Philippe, because this one says...
I'm not.
Hi, Bent Notes and guests. What a relief to hear jazz after a long weekend of football. Can I ask a question for your lovely guest? Yes, you may, and this insightful interview. What record or artist would you take on a desert island and play continuously? And that message has come from South Yarra. Thanks for your message, South Yarra. I appreciate that. There's the question. What would the three of you take onto an island as your desert island disc?
That's a very tough question, but I think it would have to be Bill Evans at the Village Vanguard. Bill Evans, Scott LaFaro and Paul Motion, pretty much everything that I think we'd wish we were.
Excellent. Andriana?
Well, if it's only one, probably anything from Kid Jarrett. Anything goes, yeah.
So whatever comes off the shelf
oh, yes.
first.
Yes.
Excellent. And Philippe?
I think I'll go with Upon Reflections, which is a Hank Jones album paying tribute to the brother, Tad Jones, with Elvin Jones and Jordan Braz on double bass. And I really love that album. So Upon Reflection, Hank Jones.
It's fantastic.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your answers. And South Yarra, thank you very much for posing that question for us. You have got two projects released to date. The Thelonious Monk project, which is entitled Monk Reloaded. And now your Duke Ellington project, which is entitled Prelude. Is there a pattern of jazz greats developing here, and does that mean that you'll be able to go on for years to come?
Oh, there's so many people we'd love to pay tribute to, but I think the next project will definitely be composing our own tunes.
I was about to say attempting to compose our own tunes.
Yeah, well, it's a new adventure, so we'll see how we go with it. I think if I was to suggest to these wonderful guys another tribute project, it would be Mingus.
Oh, of course.
I would love to see what we could do with Mingus's tunes as a trio. But I think I can speak for these guys to say that we're really excited to give our own writing a go.
Well, don't forget Bent Notes when you get that project set to go. We'd love to have you back and hear some of those results.
Yeah, I'd love to send it your way. Yeah,
that'd
for sure.
Be great. But before that, of course, at Wangaratta this year, on the first weekend in November, you are performing. And you are performing your Duke Ellington project, which is the brand new CD called Prelude. Why did you choose Duke? What was it about his music that caught your attentions?
Duke, I just love Duke. I can't really answer that in an unemotive way. It's just his music is wonderful.
It is very alluring, very delicate, different, and I don't know. I've always loved.
He was such an inspiring person as well in terms of he growing up in segregated America as a black person, and he would always go out and he would never be told that he wasn't a gentleman, and he would always dress like a gentleman and always carry himself with such respect even in the face of adversity. And his arrangements and his writing is just sublime. Of course, he had an uncanny ability of picking some of the greatest musicians for his orchestra. He's all around just a wonderful person to be celebrating.
And there's such a rich treasure trove of his music available for us to listen to, including reissues that come in packs of five now, where you can get packs of five of his greatest discs together.
Everything's gold.
Which is so great to see, so great to listen to. Will the gig now, you're actually performing at the Pinson Hotel for 3 hours, 2 till 5 on the Saturday afternoon.
That's right.
Will the entire gig be Duke Ellington, or will there be a little bit more in there?
There will probably be a little bit more in there. There's also a break, so I think you might see us at the bar at some point as well.
Yeah, 3 hours is probably a little bit long to play continuously. You need at least a 5-minute break in the middle.
There will be, and then I think, I mean, the previous show, as you said, was Monk Reloaded, and we always like to throw in a few Monk tunes in there. So
there will be temptation to play Monk, of course.
There will be indeed.
Temptation to play Monk.
Yes.
Will there be any temptation to do anything self-composed?
Not yet.
Not yet?
One can't know. What the future brings.
We might just have to nick up on stage halfway through, just grab all the charts and let you go.
That's one thing we tried to do. It's not to have any charts on the stage. Mm. That's been the aim for a little while now. Just as a...
It always intrigues me how a group can get up on stage with absolutely no charts and play just so well. It's a real talent that people have, that musicians have.
Well, I'm going to be very honest, and I'm going to tell you, don't be intrigued by me, because I always have my charts on my piano, if, you know, the honesty speaks itself.
It's a safety net.
But the interesting thing, you know, it's that I never look at the charts, and, you know, the crowd there, who is always present at our gigs, could tell that. Like, they always ask me, like, you don't even look at, you know, at your charts, you don't even look at the audience, you know, like, you're always, you know, like, squeezed into your piano, it's like holding it, you know, like cuddling your piano, it's like truly emotional. So that's the truth about me.
So it was a bit of a safety blanket.
Yes, I'm the blanket,
What intrigues
me? And it's my baby. That's my baby.
What intrigues me these days is seeing musicians who don't have any paper up there, they just have a tablet.
Yes, that's the future,
Is that... Do you guys ever use tablets for that type of
thing? Too modern. We like old school.
I know Dan uses them. So do I, yeah.
Well, for this gig, for the Phileas Fogg Trio gig, Phil came with the idea. He was like, if I was kind of keen to be, okay, let's just get gigging as quickly as possible. We'll read from charts. But Phil insisted on only gigging once we know the songs. So we obviously there's a lot of improvisation involved, but it's a case of memorizing the chords, the harmony of the song, so you can just use that as a springboard for your improvisation. And I think it was absolutely fantastic, because it not having that music stand in front of you just opens up communication with the audience, I think.
It does.
But every now and again we find ourselves doing corporate gigs, you know, playing for cheese and wine festivals, hotel lobbies, where you'll just be calling songs on the fly and it won't be stuff that we've perhaps rehearsed all that much. So I actually find the tablet fantastic for that, because you have thousands of charts in there, so you can call any song that you want and just bring it up on your iPad and off you go.
How does it compare, Dan, when you're actually playing? From a size perspective, the tablets always look smaller than the printed charts. Does that cause any hassles?
I've never actually thought about it, no. I think,
I'm sorry we've gone off a tangent here.
No, it's an interesting question, No, I've never noticed. It's, to be honest, all I look at is the chords. So after playing for quite a while, you kind of know what those chords imply. So it's not like I am up there, perhaps someone in the wonderful Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, where they're reading a melody note for note. It's kind of I'm just looking at the chords and using that to base my harmony off of. So perhaps if I was reading something note for note, something a bit larger would be nicer.
Well, thank you for going with me on that little tangent.
That's
there, Dan.
Fine.
Let's come back to Phileas Fogg performing at the Pincent Hotel Saturday, November 3, 2 to 5 p.m. Bit of Ellington, maybe a bit of Monk, and who knows what else might happen in that 3 hours. Be great to see you up there performing. How can we find more information about Phileas Fogg?
We've got a Bandcamp page. I guess if you go on Google and just put our name, there will be a few links. But yeah, definitely, usually Bandcamp, Facebook, Instagram.
Expertly run Instagram.
We've got website recently.
Oh, have you now?
Yes,
what's the website address?
It's your baby.
This is something that Andriana made. It's her recent little baby, she doesn't know what it is.
Well, yes, it's pretty much new.
It's Phileas Fogg Trio something.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll just do a Google search for Phileas Fogg Trio. We can get all the links to wherever you are, and that means that we can find out all about you. Gee, Rex is working hard tonight. Let's have a look and see what he's got. He has a message here that says, We are loving listening to the interview, and with love and great pride in our super talented man, love Ali, Elodie, and all our friends listening right now. Kiss, hug, kiss, hug.
That's for Phil.
That's for Phil. Yeah. Excellent. And more. There's more. So proud of you, bro. All our love, Krista James, and your new nephew, Hunter.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do a little shameless plug. I'm so proud to have a new nephew in the, well, my first ever nephew, and just... It's great, as you guys are listening over there, just a big chance to say Hunter is the best. Can't wait to meet him. Love to all the family.
And what instrument will Hunter play when he grows up?
He'll play bass, obviously. Yeah.
Excellent. That sounds fantastic. Well, Phileas Fogg Trio, Philippe, Adriana and Dan, thank you so much for popping into the studio tonight. Really appreciate
that. Thank you for your invitation.
Time to come in. We'll look forward to seeing you up in Wangaratta on the 3rd of November. Between 2 and 5 p.m. in the, well, that's the afternoon. I should say Phileas Fogg Trio on Facebook is a good place to go to get all the details. I think we should hear a little bit more of your album. The piece I think we can listen to is Fleurette Africaine. Why is that a good piece to listen to?
Because I guess it's a little bit different to what we've heard before. It's not so much swing-based. It's probably a little bit more... Model. So it's probably a little bit more groove based and modal, let's say.
Let's have a listen to the Phileas Fogg Trio from their latest album Prelude, a piece called Fleurette Africaine. Thank you, Phileas Fogg Trio, for coming into Bent Notes tonight here at Joy 94.9.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.